CliffCentral.com.
Good morning, everybody. We're live. It is Thursday. A couple of minutes late. I hit snooze one too many times this morning.
Yes,
exactly. But you know what? I'm like those politicians who are looking for your vote. As soon as Thursday rolls around and the elections are over, I'm like... Exactly what happened here. We got Pumi Mashiko, we've got Bulelo Tidza, you got me, you got you. And it is the 4th of November already. Yeah. Last week, Pumi put the fear... She put the fear of God into us by telling us there were only 8 weeks to the end of the year, or to Christmas. I think it's to Christmas. And now there are only 7. So I'm not even going to refer to that because it just drives people crazy. They suddenly realize how little of the year they have left. Hey, Pums.
Hi, guys. You must, you know, it's feedback, reality.
I know.
These things are good things.
I know. So, I mean, Pums, we've got the burning platform a little bit later on. We've got a lot to talk about around elections, and we'll get to all of that in a moment or two. But, I mean, you've been watching this. I know what you're like. You're an election nerd.
Listen, I see you, Graham Ross Armstrong.
What do you mean?
I see you.
What does Graham Ross say?
Like throwing stuff there, throwing shade out in the background. Graham, I see you.
Pumi has a blue wall to represent the DA. You don't know what Pumi votes because she hasn't ever told you. Pumi might be...
I have very sad news.
What's that?
For everybody in the burning platform.
What's that?
Do you see this?
Mm. You didn't vote?
Yep.
Why didn't you
vote? I was one of the casualties of the voter management device.
What happened?
I have voted in the same place. You all know I'm a Cancerian. I've lived here for like 15 years and
right.
I've owned this property forever. I've voted in the same place in 2011, 2016, in 2019. And I show up at my voter station and I actually got there, like in front of me was one of my neighbors. And I'm not on the roll. I'm actually like, my name's there, but it's actually registered somewhere in Kensington.
You're joking.
I was like,
why? What
was the voter management device?
System. It's the
yeah.
System.
I actually was like trying to think about it.
Yeah.
And I think somebody when they were manually moving people off the pieces of paper. Because, you know, like the last time you went to vote, there was like stacks of paper, someone with a ruler and a pencil.
At my voting station, they had that. They still had that. Two women at a table. The one had a ruler and she was crossing out names. And the other one was the other one is doing IDs, scanning them in. And then they actually wrote them down as well. So there was like a double system. And I thought, well, no wonder it's taking so long, because it was taking a very long time. I mean, so Pums, okay, first of all, we know there are people who have an objection to voting and they don't go and vote on purpose, but you actually lined up. You were ready to go and vote. You wanted to, and then they said to
you,
sorry, you can't.
Listen, I stood in the queue. There was like, I stood in the socially distanced queue.
For how long?
Not long.
Okay.
Not long. For about 20 minutes.
Yep.
There was a system down thing. But yeah, but I was not going to drive 15 kilometers to vote in somebody else's district.
I'm sorry, that's ridiculous. And you must have been a little bit pissed off.
Just a tiny bit.
God,
just a tiny bit.
I wonder how many other people had that experience.
It's on a saying, "Sing khanang sing rula morwalo." So that which rejects me, removes a burden from me. And so it did remove the burden of having to, like, because I was still, even as I, arrived at the polls was still quite undecided as to where I was going to put my cross.
I remember you saying
I knew who the council was going to be, but for the PR vote, I was really undecided.
I'm annoyed for you. I didn't know that had happened. I really hope it isn't a widespread problem, because I mean, people are saying the IEC is the independent, what is it? Independent incompetent error council, according to Ruth, which I like. The incompetent error council. Heads need to roll big time.
Look, and somebody's just put up a Carl Dos Santos, yeah, says they should have still let me vote for the PR, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
They didn't, and I was so, like, pissed off. Also, then yesterday, whatever, Tuesday, Wednesday, whenever we were listening to the results, every time, like, someone from the IEC came on to say, yeah, but this was in place, and I was just like, yeah, but our people at our station, they were so tired, they were so uninterested, they were not helpful. They were beyond, because I also went in the afternoon. Well, not in the afternoon, I actually went in the evening, which is usually my thing, right? Kind of go near the end.
Yeah.
Miss all the excitement. Right. Miss all the, like, chatter in the line, which is also...
Well, I have a little bone to pick with you and Canton, because you said to me, oh, go anytime, there won't be queues. And I ended up having to wait like 2.5 hours. And
so you obviously went at the time when everybody else went. I mean, like,
no,
really? So everywhere across...
I had a 10 a.m. meeting, so I drove past the voting station and checked the lines, and they were probably, it would have been half of what it would have taken me in the end. So I could have probably done it in an hour and a quarter, maybe an hour and a half.
Listen.
Then I went past, I went past a second time later on, and I thought, oh, this line is not getting any shorter. And then I went past a third time, and decided, all right, it's now or never. If I don't go now, I'll just, it's a waste.
So we have seen the statistic that the numbers of people who showed up were less than half the people,
yeah,
on the roll.
So that is true.
The reality is that the problem wasn't the numbers of people that showed up. Mm. It was the system. It was either the pen and paper checking in, yeah, 2021, or the voter management devices.
So those voter management devices were quite a controversial part of all of this. A lot of people were talking about them yesterday. But let's look at some of this stuff. They say that the overall voter turnout was really not very good. Do you have the exact number? Because I've got something here like...
8 million out of 26 on the voters' roll.
That's right. And they say it's what, like 42%?
Yeah.
So, okay. A 42% turnout's really nothing to be pleased with. And I think...
Except...
Yeah.
But it's also a misnomer, right? We're looking at 8 million out of 26 who are on the voters' roll.
Yeah.
What nobody is talking about is the fact that we have 40 million people eligible to vote.
Yes. Yeah.
So, so it's actually 8 out of 40 million.
No, that's ridiculous.
What you have.
I mean, that just shows you this huge apathy. And it was also interesting to notice how much apathy there was in the townships, especially, because I think that's where people are most disconnected from their leaders. You could see that there was a very good, you know, your friend, Pums, we tried to get him today for the Burning Platform, Davi Skultz, I think his name is.
Yeah.
He's the News 24 election nerd. He crunches the numbers. He did a very interesting breakdown of all the townships. And kind of looked at across South Africa what the movements there were, and the ANC really should be very embarrassed by what's happened with them, because it's not good. Mm. The results for the ANC are really, really bad, and we're still waiting. In some areas, we're still waiting to see what those results are. But
yeah.
I think they're more or less counted now. They said by this morning they should have all the wards represented, and one or two of them that need to just be double checked and triple checked, but otherwise it's pretty much in. So what are your top
line? On the screen there, because obviously it's on in the background, they say the vote is at 96%.
Okay.
I wish that I had a ballot box for stay the same, because where I stay, I'm ecstatic with whoever was doing whatever they were doing in the last 8 months that I've lived there. I don't want to think about ANC, DA, EFF, stay the same party.
So there should have been an option on the ballot paper that said just stay the same, and you would have ticked that.
Oh, God. I might have even committed voter fraud to put 10 votes in. Just keep it exactly how it is.
Well, I mean, Olivia, so Olivia makes a point here, because this wasn't one of the defining things about South Africa. Olivia says, didn't people die for the ability to vote back in the day? Our descendants don't seem to care. Yeah, that's right.
No. I think, again, it's kind of misdiagnosing the issue.
Okay.
So people did die, people did fight, and people still, this is also feedback, and it's feedback for everybody. It's not just feedback for the ANC, it's feedback for every single political party out there. And the feedback is, your message does not resonate.
Yeah.
You have not gotten through to the voter.
That's
so
the
voter is also making a decision by not showing up. They are also making a decision. It's a dangerous decision, but it's a decision nonetheless.
And I hate to be the bearer of even worse news, is that, you know, the most dangerous human being you can get in the world is a man or woman with nothing to lose. If people are once somebody says in life, I don't care, they are. So, oh boy, let's strap in. Because if this much of the country says they don't care, oh boy.
It's feedback.
Yeah.
It's feedback, and like everybody should take notice of it.
So I'm just looking at the cities. Okay, so Cape Town, the city of Cape Town, which we know is one of the big prizes here. The ANC has dropped a little bit there. So the DA has dropped a little bit there. It's not looking as strong as it did in the last election. So I wonder if they're going to be miserable about that, because they were expecting better results. If we look at the Eastern Cape, I think it stands to reason the ANC has, I think, maybe two municipalities which it managed to get over 50% in. One is eThekwini, Durban. The other one is Buffalo City, East London. But everywhere else they've done really badly. The DA and the ANC are neck and neck in Port Elizabeth. 39.92 to the DA and 39.43 to the ANC. So that's really, really close. Again, it's going to have to be all these coalitions we've spoken about. But the next closest party after those two is the EFF at 6.4. So they're going to have to cobble together like 9 or 10 parties to make up the necessary votes, right?
See? It's out, y'all.
They've literally got 48 seats each in Port Elizabeth, the DA and the ANC. 48 each out of, I think, you know, the total number of seats available there was 120. 48 and 48.
Do you remember the word of the year a couple of years ago?
Which
was omni-shambles.
sounds like we're going to be using that again. I know what that word means.
Omni-shambles.
Yeah.
That's the situation.
Well, I mean, so eThekwini, I mean, this is interesting. They've got, the ANC's only got 41.9% of the vote. So not even there did they have a majority, an outright majority. So it's only in Buffalo City. So they've got one place where they had an outright over 50% where they can put together a government without having to have coalitions. Everywhere else, they're going to have to work with other parties. That's interesting. I don't think we've had that.
And good.
Yeah, I don't think we've had that for a very long time in South Africa, where parties had to work together. I mean, so Mangaum is 50.63, so it's the tiniest, the slimmest margin for Bloemfontein.
I think it was, it might have even been last year, but I remember saying the tectonic shifts.
Yep.
In the political landscape is what we have ahead of us.
Right.
And if this is not a schism and a sign of things to come, y'all strap in.
Well, I mean, obviously,
2024 is going to be
I saw Bantu Holomisa on the news yesterday, and he was saying this is
shame man.
No, but he said something interesting. I mean, regardless of his party's performance, which is dismal. But he did say the people really have handed a bit of a mandate here. And that is that they want a lot of parties to determine their future, not just one. They're not, you know, even if we individually voted for party X or party Y, what's ended up happening is that they've all got to come together. It's almost like we're forcing their heads together. You know how you, when your children fight, you're like, you said him, now you apologize to him and you apologize to her and you get along. That's kind of what South Africa is saying.
That's not what South Africans are saying.
You don't agree.
They need to tell themselves that to make themselves feel better. But that's not what South Africans are saying. South Africans are saying, y'all done messed up. That's what South Africans are saying.
No, might
you don't get me and you don't know what I need and what I want. And I have no confidence in any of you.
Yeah. That's right. Otherwise, but listen, I think Herman Mashaba did a very good job for his first ever election. Don't you think?
He did.
I mean,
he did.
I think the guy
amazing.
Deserved. Action SA have really performed out of their boots. If you consider that in Tshwane and in Joburg, they really are like kingmakers in every way. They've, in fact, you could even argue, like in Joburg, that the EFF have been displaced. I mean, the EFF are at 10.75% in the city of Joburg. Action SA at 16.06%. And they did so well in places like Soweto. They picked up all the disgruntled ANC votes of people who still did go to the polls.
But not just in places like Soweto. I think that the thing about, the thing about the Action SA's performance, even if you look at it in KZN, if you look at it in the metropoles where they were, is they won the votes of a disgruntled ANC, normal ANC people.
Right.
But they also won a lot of what is considered traditional kind of DA.
Yeah. Oh, yes.
You know, affluent blacks, affluent whites, in all of those suburbs. If you look at Ethekwini, if you look at Pietermaritzburg, if you look at those areas and look at where they won, man, they picked up, they really did well. They really, really did well. And but now...
Is more parties a good thing?
Depends. It's very hard.
Not necessarily.
It's hard to get,
it's definitely
things,
not.
Get things done,
actually,
right?
It's definitely not.
No, it's, so,
you've read a book by a guy called Barry Schwartz, right? It's called The Paradox of Choice.
Yeah.
Get a hold of it. And actually more choice leads to worse decisions in life in general. But Paradox of Choice. Have a look at that. Particularly in politics, actually. He really has an interesting take on that.
For
those of you who don't want to read the book, there's a TED Talk.
There's a TED Talk, which you're shorten the whole thing. Yeah, thank you, boys. Oh, what a relief.
Bite size. Instagram it. Yeah, you can Instagram the whole book.
It's also interesting to note, Faith Mangope said this, I think, on ENCA. She said, is the ANC becoming a rural party? Because, this is interesting. You know, they still very much, they command a lot of the vote in the outlying areas, but in the cities they've become a bit of a sideshow. All the parties are a sideshow, as Pumi said. So you've got to ask that question too. And if it's true that the ANC is now a rural party, that for them is an embarrassment. It means that they're not as they're not taken as seriously as they were in previous elections. Also saw Fikile Mbalula on TV. Can we just get a cap that fits his head, please, when we make election? Did you see that cap sitting on top of his head like this? The hell's that?
Ooh, you know what I did see?
Mm-hmm.
This is body language of everybody that came on, whether it was Jesse Duarte, Gwede Mantashe, all of them, John Stiernason, the look of absolute like fear in all of their eyes, which
really?
For me is great, right? It means that there is a little bit of self-awareness, that they see it, that they
Did
are
Did you
in
actually
trouble.
See fear?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Really?
I saw definite discomfort, right. Definite fear. But what I also saw, which is why I'm saying to you what Bantu are saying, is it's kind of self-talk. So what I saw their body language on Tuesday versus even last night, is they're in the self-talk, right? So they're talking themselves into the space where they've gone from kind of the people have spoken, yes, it's concerning, to, well, actually, it's not so bad. You know?
Well.
So I was like, They on the rural self-talk.
Point, yeah. On the rural point, and I think that's a great point, is that then the conspiracy theorists who've always said the ANC will keep the country rural in order to keep the vote, is now it starts to look real, right? Is that that's all that's left, because the blacks and the whites, and the blacks who sound like the whites, say, no, bro, I've had enough Isaacs. So I want to, I also want to go to Australia. I also want to raise their work. You know what I mean? I want to, you know, Craig wants to marry Tundi now. We don't have time for that. And now it becomes, can you actually deliver on your promise? And keep the country rural has been the, let me just say, the streets have been saying that that's what the ANC are doing.
And do we need to refer to the IFP? Because actually in parts of, in parts of KwaZulu-Natal, they did better, much better.
Not parts of KwaZulu-Natal, that entire Zululand area.
23.6% of the whole province, which is very impressive, because they remember there was the NFP in between, who have obviously they've disappeared. They're still there, but they're at 1.79% now. They lost their leader this year as well, but the IFP seem to be doing quite a lot. And I noticed they got Nkandla with 57.4% of the vote.
Listen, the 80% of all those wards, they got like, it's crazy.
Yeah.
It's crazy. Well, I don't know if it's crazy, but what it does also indicate is that young people, because who would vote for the IFP? The IFP is not a young party. Right? So the people who did show up to vote and back in their traditional strongholds, that's who they voted for. They voted for the men they know, the men they trust.
I know what's happened there is that the Zulu people have said, Yazin Makumalu, we are very, very tired. Stinuele Vendalel.
No, not necessarily. No, listen, Umsholozi's district, Nkandla, is actually, even the last time around, even when he was strong, they voted for the IFP. So Umsholozi is not the kind of player that people think. Like, people kind of, in as we sit here out politicking each other in the cities, we think that he plays this tribal card, that he's got this, it's not what it is, yo. It's not what it is.
Yeah.
I must tell you, Pumi, I'm actually glad you're here. I was in Durban last week, and when you hear people speaking that Zulu, like, everywhere, you do feel like you're going to get smacked in the face at some stage. You know, when Zulus get together, they just sound like, they sound like they're gonna get on you. Yeah, I just got to tell you, it's something I just wanted to get out there. So
you're talking absolute rubbish. You're talking rubbish.
Talking rubbish. Lenki. I was like, whoa.
Oh, here's something you can probably help with, Bulelo. This is on a totally unrelated note. Xbox Series X says, morning team, can we please talk about why DSTV Now streaming service goes off at exactly 11 o'clock every night and only works again at midnight? In the middle of the Liverpool game, it stopped. Have you had people complaining about that?
No, I haven't seen that, but that's absolutely disgusting. I mean, unfortunately, I'm too old to be up at 11 at night these days, but no, that's terrible. I'll look into that. I know somebody who's in that department. I'll give some feedback as to what the hell is going on.
Phone the manager.
Karen.
Excuse me. By the way, I'm not a what. My name is Mbulelo. I'm not a what. it's not there. I'd like to speak to the manager.
Jean can't believe it. She says, what, people still watch DSTV?
For the football. Football, it's just football. Everything else is useless. Oh, we just want football.
I'm watching the election coverage on DSTV, Sha.
But you could watch it on ETV on free to air.
Sure. Yeah, but then I can't go between PNCA and Newsroom Africa and come on. Yeah, it's like these things are.
So you actually do you do the channel hopping so you can get different points of view. My dad watches SABC. And
it's what? Wonderful.
Yeah, he watches
it. It's wonderful.
He loves it.
Vuyo Voko's been great.
Yeah. So he's been watching SABC. I had it on a mix of DSTV Newsroom Africa and SABC. And then I love using the internet because then you can use your own map and you can go and have a look. In fact, News 24, who I don't normally give a lot of credit for anything, but they did a pretty good job of laying out the maps and helping people to understand what's going on.
News 24 did an incredible job. Yeah. News 24 was fantastic.
No,
their, coverage and kind of insights, because that's actually what you also want, right? Is you want insights and you want, News 24 was cool.
What's your dad watching on SABC?
Angus.
Sorry, I'm still...
You're asking the wrong guy.
Hey!
Oh my God, when you said that, what do you mean?
No.
Everything. SABC still has some killer content. SABC SABC still has great stuff. They've got great dramas. They've got news. SABC News has also kind of done a bit of an uptake. So SABC, yo, it's still in the running.
No, since our leader, no longer says Namkelekile Amanenegazi. I also said nah, we are. Because of people who haven't
heard,
not voting for the SABC.
You're out.
Yeah, nah, man.
Mulelo, you know, I've just thought about something. Here's what you need to do for yourself over the next couple of days. I think it's still on for another week and a half.
Yeah.
At the State Theater, there is a musical production of Shaka Zulu. It's called The Gaping Wound. Go see it.
That's very impressive. I saw you forced your son to go and watch it for me. And how did he feel about it?
I forced my son to do lots of things.
you got to sort of inject the culture.
No, he loved it.
Yeah? Did he?
He absolutely loved it. He really, really, and he likes kind of this historical, he does like music and drama and that kind of stuff. And so he enjoyed it, and he enjoyed the music, he enjoyed the story. There were a lot, as you all know, besides the fact that I'm a bit of a history nut, the story for me, knowing all that I know about the story, I just thought it was a little bit, I had a lot of gaps that I needed to fill for him.
Okay.
In the conversation. But he enjoyed it. He enjoyed it. We walked away from, an afternoon of theater and singing and dancing, which was quite lovely.
Very good. I'm pleased to see, it's up to people like Pumi to keep the culture and the history riding high. Otherwise, you're not going to get that out of, DSTV, I'm afraid.
It was, it was so wonderful. It was full. It was Sunday. It was the matinee on Sunday.
Yep.
And it was really full. There were a couple of plays. There was also one that was ending about Charlotte Maxeke.
Oh, yeah.
Which a friend of mine wrote. And directed, which is also, it was really nice to see the State Theater kind of teeming with life.
Now, speaking of theater and actors, I had a really interesting interview yesterday with Dr. Jerry Mofokeng, who...
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and I spoke to him for, I think, close to an hour and talked about his story. He's written a memoir, and that'll be coming out soon. So I actually got to sit down with him and talk to him for a good 45 minutes to an hour, and he's just such a great storyteller. I mean, that guy is, he's got a life story to tell too, which is really fascinating. And he's written this book partly as an autobiography and memoir, but also partly with some advice for, especially for men, which I thought was interesting. So you'll get to hear that shortly. We'll make sure that's up on cliffcentral.com. This week, and of course, I'm not here tomorrow. So just put that into the the diary as well in case. But Bulelo and the team are going to be looking after things tomorrow. And then I'll be back on next week's Burning Platform and next week's Thursday show. So just a couple of things quickly. This is quite interesting, and we often talk about these characters. So here he is, President Cyril Ramaphosa met with King Mswati III. But the Swaziland Solidarity Network has slammed the meeting. They have criticized President Cyril Ramaphosa for visiting the king. Pro-democracy movements have called for an inclusive and open dialogue, with months of protests having rocked Africa's last absolute monarchy. According to reports, a high school was set on fire and an unknown number of civilians were wounded in the capital city of Mbabane in October. At least 28 people have died this year as police clashed with protesters, some of the worst unrest in South Africa, in Swaziland's history, in Eswatini's history. Mm-hmm. King Mswati III has ruled since 1986 and owns shares in all of the country's telecoms. He's often criticized for living a lavish lifestyle in one of the poorest countries and is also accused of stifling political parties. So people are saying, why did Cyril meet with him? They said they were disappointed by the statement released by his office. The group spokesperson, Lucky Lukele, said that the statement made no mention of whether the unbanning of political parties was discussed or if they discussed the important issue of media freedom. Because they probably didn't, right?
No.
I'm sure they didn't discuss it.
But he was there in his capacity as like AU.
Yeah, to do what Cyril always does.
You know?
Smile, glad hand, shake hands. Everything's great. There's a nice picture of him with the king. What does he think his job is? Just to pose and smile for pictures? He's not a celebrity.
The AU as a whole. You all don't know how I feel about the AU.
Yeah, it's a joke. All right.
Useless.
Well, there's that. Another headline while we're busy with headlines. Joe Biden has attacked China and Russia for missing the COP 26 climate summit. But I don't blame China and Russia. They're also just glad-handing each other. You have all these people fly in their jets, which are burning fossil fuel. Not one of them went there in an electric car all the way from, I don't know, wherever they come from. Because you can't, right? It's in Glasgow in Scotland. You have to get to the island of Great Britain in any case. So I don't know what they're all...
There's a great picture. Oh. There's a great picture yesterday on one of the, one of the alternative kind of news networks, mm-hmm. a picture of the fleet of cars,
yeah.
which are like BMWs and Mercedes-Benzes,
right.
that are used to ferry all of the delegates
yeah.
from their hotel to the conference center. None of them electric cars. All of no, them like...
And by the way, Pums...
Big engines.
On that note...
Big engines and gas guzzlers.
Joe Biden had a convoy of some 80 cars. Now, if you want people to take you seriously, if you want us to sit up and listen as ordinary people in the world, because, you know, these are the leaders who are getting together now, and we must sit and we must change our behavior. We must start separating our rubbish. We must drive electric cars. We must stop using so much electricity, and we must try to encourage our local leadership to, you know, find alternative energy sources and so on. But you're taking an 80-convoy cavalcade. 80-car cavalcade into meetings like this. Who are you trying to kill?
Which was also flown in. Which was also
all of it flown in.
He's not using like Avis.
No, exactly. Feet. Yeah, correct.
He's flown in from
the shut
States.
Up. So shut up, Joe Biden.
It's also because British cars are crap.
Yeah,
he's probably thinking, oh, this is useless. We got to bring our own stuff. So these pasty people have no idea what they're doing.
All of them went there to Glasgow to be shouted at by Greta Thunberg, and. China and Russia said, yeah, you know what? We don't give a shit about this. This is a waste of time. Now, you remember when Trump said that the COP climate summits were a waste of time, and everybody said, oh, how dare you? And, you know, that's so irresponsible. Anyway, China and Russia don't give a shit. They just don't care. They don't care.
Yeah, well,
and what a waste.
And China keeps building coal-fired. They're building.
That's right.
More coal-fired.
So I would like all these
power stations.
All these climate activists, whatever that means, because I mean I have yet to meet a climate activist who's actually doing the things that they expect everyone else to do. I'd like all of them to turn their attention to China, which is the biggest emitter of carbon dioxide, followed by the US. Then Russia's the fifth largest, after the EU and India. I think we're the 12th. I saw a statistic that South Africa is the 12th biggest emitter. Did you know that?
I didn't know that. But really? Vladimir is probably, yeah. I mean, we just don't care in this country. But anyway, so Vladimir can see the invoices, because for those who don't know, I mean, a good 90%, I believe, and that number may be a little high, but of all the natural gases, they come from him. That's right. Why he's got his foot on the throat of Europe. He sees the invoices. He says, nah, chaps, I can't make it. Me, I'm going to go ride my horse and go hunting. I'll see you on the other side.
But this is it's a joke. It's a big joke. So everybody who thinks that this is a serious meeting and that this is where the future of the Earth is going to be decided, I've got terrible news for you. You're absolutely wrong, and you're wasting your time. So those are the headlines. We'll get into some more of the headlines around the election when we do the Burning Platform a little bit later on. And this morning we'll be joined by none other than Siv Ngesi, who's been very outspoken about the elections and has a lot to say. And even though he's not a political analyst, the guy has some really useful insights. Also, Dumo Denga will join us. He's been getting into some trouble for his points of view on the elections. And we thought, well, why not? Let's bring all these people together, along with me and Pumi, and we'll see what people have to say. Onkoporza says, it is coal-fired power stations that we have, which don't even work half the time. That is why we're 12th. Mm-hmm. Ain't that the truth? Emitting a lot and making fogol, says Hein Benz. Yeah, that's also true. That's us. You have stolen my dreams and my childhood with your empty words. That's a quote of Greta's from Simon. Thank you, Simon. Very, very nice. So we'd like to hear from you. Did you see Boris got into trouble for not wearing his mask with David Attenborough sitting right next to him? It's amazing how the political elite are above it all, hey? Well, I mean, I saw people saying, well, basically Boris is condemning David Attenborough to an early grave, all this shit. I'm like, no, that's not what masks do.
And he's 95. It's not that early.
Plus, aren't they?
It's not that early. Attenborough's 95.
Exactly. Let me ask you this quickly. If all the people in that picture, Boris and David Attenborough and whoever else was sitting next to either of them, there were four guys. If all of them were vaxxed, isn't that what they've been telling us is the best way to make sure that you're not going to be hospitalized for COVID? Like, let's just keep the messaging on point. You want people to go and get vaccinated, but then you tell them, no, you have to also still keep wearing the mask, and you must also sanitize your hands, and you must also X, Y, and Z. The vaccine is the best thing you can do. Right? So why are we still having this conversation? And surely the person who wears the mask is the one who's protecting themselves. I mean, otherwise, let's just give up on this thing. I don't wear a seatbelt to keep you safe in the car.
So are you saying it's wrong for people to be outraged, or are you saying Boris and them should wear a mask?
I don't care. I think this is so stupid that we're still going on about this 2 years later. By the way, I put up a thing on Instagram yesterday because I was so annoyed. Have you seen what the statistics are around COVID at the moment? This is I went and had a look at this just yesterday. Our COVID numbers. New cases.
COVID is coming back, guys. COVID is coming back. Now that y'all have voted.
Bullshit.
Now that y'all have been to all the rallies.
So here's a number for the 1st of November.
Brace yourself for the next wave.
3 days ago, 1st of November, how many new cases in the whole of South Africa? 106.
That we know.
In the whole of, well, come on, because most people aren't even reporting it because it's nothing big to young people. It's not a big deal. 106. Mm. It's time to stop calling this a pandemic and just abandon this stupid lockdown. It's enough already. Really, the people who've gone to the trouble of going to go and get vaccinated have done everything they could. Now it's time to move on. This is childish and stupid. So,
Cyril's going to, once he finds his iPad, do you think he's going to log it up for December? Because, you know, us South Africans, we're about to get loose.
Yeah.
What do you think? Level three, huh?
You think so?
Level three, level four.
It's coming.
You can already hear how they're shaping it.
Yeah, it's coming.
You notice that they don't even put the death statistics up anymore because it's just not...
I just saw for the first time in like 2 weeks, I just saw statistics coming up in one of the channels. One of the channels actually had somebody talking about kind of COVID and what all these like politicians like rallies and the super spreader events that they were.
Please, what a lot of shit.
But, it's coming, y'all.
Here it is. Total deaths yesterday. Sorry, no, second. So this is 2 days ago. 18. Now, when 18 people in the whole country are dying from COVID on the 2nd of November, 2021, and your seven-day average is 30, that is no longer a pandemic. Shut down all the stupid lockdown talk. It's pointless.
Guys, I think that the real problems that we should be talking about, we're not even paying attention to. Like, do you all know that there is a bottle shortage in this country right now? That if your favorite, if your favorite drink comes in a bottle that's not recyclable, so you can't like, not like Coca-Cola, you can take it back and get a deposit to get it. Yeah, no, not that kind of a one. Like if you drink Savannah. If you drink Savannah, for instance.
Oh, really? So even glass,
you can't get them.
That's what I'm talking about. Council is running at a shortage. We're going to, like, December's going to be dry, not because the bottle stores are closed, but because you all can't get your favorite beverage and they can't put it back in the bottle.
That's incredible.
So SAB are actually running a promotion, like, that you must return your bottles. You know how you used to, like, take a bottle back and get, like, 50 cents or something?
Yes. Yeah.
They are currently running quite a big promotion that says return your like 660 ml bottles. But like that wine, we're all going to be drinking box wine. I'm telling you, we're going to be drinking box wine in
I didn't know about this.
I mean, that's directly an effect of stopping systems, right? Is that
it is
supply chain?
It's a direct effect. Supply chains. Yeah.
Supply chain disruptions. It's one of the things, is supply chain disruptions. But also it was kind of in the lockdowns and not being able to produce. So where they do produce locally, they were not able to produce. So if it comes in a special bottle as well, hey?
Shucks.
Your favorite drink. Box wine.
This is news
to
me.
That's where we're going.
I cannot
believe this is news to you. Like,
sorry.
Like Savannah drinkers are losing their damn minds because the Savannah bottle is also a very special bottle. It's not like all the other bottles.
Now,
it's going to be Savannah.
On that now there's two ways to say it. There's Savannah drinkers and there's Abantabaphuza Savannah. Now, one of the guys on my show, Ryan, is looking for. He's open to the market in terms of the romance thing. And one of the first things I told him is stay away from girls who drink Savannah. And if they can put it on their head and shake their head and it doesn't fall, stay away from those girls, Ryan. So I thought I'd done my public service. We all know who we're talking about. I'm sorry. Guys, stay away from those ladies who can make a Savannah bottle stay on their head.
Stinkmina says Savannah drinkers are a problem.
Yes, we go. You see now.
That's very judgmental, guys. That's very judgmental. Stop it.
Yeah. Well, you're not saying we're wrong. Just saying it's judgmental.
I'm saying it's prejudice.
Well,
just saying
what
it's
you saying,
Here's Yonder. Yonder says, my girlfriend drinks Savannah. For the past 3 months, there have been issues, and I've been in Durban and Eastern Cape, and the same issue, it gets sold out. So, okay. I don't think Yonder means issues with the girlfriend.
Issues. We can't discount that. Drinks Savannah. Yeah. We can't discount that.
Yeah, exactly. Anyway, I do see lots of people saying that if Cyril does decide he's going to lock us down again, we must just ignore him. I mean, that's kind of what we've done from day one. And really, I think that that's absolutely acceptable. So Olivia says, if there's a further lockdown, it is completely unwarranted and we need to actually just ignore it. I agree. Go and look up the statistics. And the reason that they're not telling you about it anymore is because it's dropped right down. The last time we had any really important numbers were back in, what was it, July, where there were 243 deaths a day and 420 was the average. Now we're all the way down to 30 is the seven-day average and only 18 deaths 2 days ago. It's enough already. Stop it. This is lower than it was back in April of 2020 when we hadn't even really figured out what was going on yet. So just stop.
Don't get distracted, y'all. Don't get distracted. Remember I told you how much time there is between now and Christmas? So, like, don't get caught out. Just all I'm saying, this is important information, is stockpile your shit now, right? Get your, like, whatever you drink, stockpile it now. While the bottles are still in the stores. Also, it's not just, okay, so it's not just the alcohol, right? Mm. It's also other stuff, like all the stuff that's in bottles, like tomato sauce.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, I'm warning you.
But having said that, though, is I don't know how it makes me feel, the fact that I never thought I'd say we are less Savannah. Ridiculous than New Zealand. Well, no. So no Savannah, no problem. For me, we're actually less ridiculous than New Zealand. I mean, Jacinda and her bunch, what the hell? No. You can't just keep locking people down because somebody sneezed on their organic mangoes at the store.
That's like, what they're doing.
That place must be a madhouse to live in. I'd love to hear from someone in New Zealand what's going on there exactly. Well, I mean, I've heard from some of my friends, but
apparently, I mean, this is so ridiculous. Apparently, they're only going to open up the country in Australia and therefore New Zealand as well, because, you know, New Zealand's just really a province of Australia. It's not really a country. They're going to open up Australia sometime in February. They're going to allow people in and allow people out.
2022?
Yeah. 2022, yeah. February. That's when they're going to finally open things up. No, I mean, that's ludicrous. What do they think? Do they really think they're protecting people, or do they think that they sound like hypochondriacs? That's what they
Who are. Needs to go there anyway?
Not me. I'm not there anyway.
Hey, no. You know that psychological thing of like, if you tell someone something enough times, they eventually, it becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy and they live it out in the end. Mm-hmm. So it's actually like the Brits sent you there to go to prison, really. It's just a big prison. Now they're living it out. Really, like, we'll build our own jail. Thank you. You were right.
Self-fulfilling prophecy, yeah. And they're happy to. It's like I read you that brilliant quote that someone said, the problem with Australia is not that they are the descendants of convicts, but they're also the descendants of prison guards. And the prison guards, the prison guards are the ones who ran for political office. No, really.
Touché. That's brilliant.
that is insight.
Apparently, that is brilliant. According to Robert, Jacinda was named Plank of the Week last week by a British radio station.
What does that even mean?
Idiot. It's like Amampara. Amampara of the Week. Annette says Qantas flying to South Africa from the 4th of January, not February. Okay, well, that's good news. I heard it was only Feb.
No, but that's 2 SA. What about out? Because I'm sure they don't mind sending their people here, quarantining them when they get home. Can we go there?
Yeah.
That's a whole different thing, Annette.
I mean, so Lee says she's got a wedding to go to in Brisbane in September of 2022, contemplating if the friendship is worth the extra headache.
Jeez.
Yeah, it's amazing. Anyway, so if you're planning Australia and New Zealand, just make a second plan that's somewhere in between. If they can get out, then you can meet them halfway. That's what I think. But I don't know. I wouldn't. Maybe Pumi's right. You shouldn't plan too much. You should make sure you're stocked up while you can get stocked up, just in case. Just in case you don't want to be caught with your pants down again.
Yeah, you don't want to be that guy.
Because, you know, as much as the society is not really obedient, most individuals in the country don't really follow any rules. The problem is all the companies do, and they'll get fined. Mm. So if you are, you know, if you're a liquor store or you're selling stuff and then they do decide to go back for some reason, I don't want to start scaremongering, but if they do decide to follow government rules, then, you know, they have to comply. If they don't, they'll get fined and they'll get shut down and they'll have their liquor license revoked and all of that stuff. So they haven't got an option. We've seen this before.
I wanted to get a take. Yeah, on the compliance take, I totally hear you, and shout out to all of us being incredible South Africans. Rules are a suggestion. But Pumi, I wanted to get your take on where Cyril voted. I believe he voted
Soweto.
Now, I know where Cyril lives. He definitely doesn't live in Soweto.
I thought exactly the same thing.
Listen to you two. So where does he live? Where should he be voting?
So he has either Hyde Park.
Yeah. Hyde Park, yeah.
Or Inanda.
So, you know, all the St. David's Oaks know where you live, Cyril. Yeah. All the St. David's guys can see your house from at break.
Yeah. So,
what are you doing voting in Soweto?
In other words, why are you going and grandstanding?
Maybe you only vote. I suppose Cyril and all of those people, I suppose their votes don't really count because everybody knows who they're voting for.
Mm. But they still get put in the ballot box.
And still a bad look. Like, yeah, now you couldn't vote in a different district. But why a different rule for you? You're a taxpayer.
I could have voted in a different district. I didn't want to vote in a different district.
Oh, I see. Okay.
All right. Well, I'm going to call this party to order. Order, comrades. Order.
Honorable Matisha. Honorable Matisha.
All right. So we'll have the burning platform next. Stick around for that. Cliffcentral.com. It is a Thursday morning with Pumi and Bulelo and me. And we'll see you in a second for the burning platform. Stick around. That's on the way. Cliffcentral.com.